The next morning, when Judith came with my breakfast tray, she took a letter for me from her apron pocket. I recognised my father's handwriting. My father's letters were always a comfort, and this one was no exception. It closed, as always, with those well-meant but desiccated four words. Mother sends her love. Did she really say it, I wondered? Father mentioning I'll write to Margaret this afternoon, and she, casually, warmly, send her my love. No, I couldn't imagine it. It would be my father's edition, written without her knowledge. Why did he bother? To please me? To make it true? Was it for me or for her that he made these thankless efforts to connect us? It was an impossible task. My mother and I were like two continents moving slowly but inexorably apart. My father, the bridge builder, constantly extending the fragile edifice he had constructed to connect us. A letter had come for me at the shop. My father enclosed it with his own. It was from the law professor father had recommended to me. Dr. Cadwallader confirmed my supposition about the meaning of a legal decree of decease, and he had traced the relevant documents and enclosed copies. Then, "You will see that the solicitor himself has signed on behalf of one of the beneficiaries. This is common in situations where the beneficiary is unable for some reason, illness or other incapacity, for instance, to take care of their own affairs." It was with a most particular attention that I noted the signature of the other beneficiary. It was almost illegible, but I managed to work it out in the end. Have I stumbled across one of the best-kept secrets of the day? But perhaps you knew it already. Is this what inspired your interest in the case? Fear not, I am a man of the greatest discretion. Tell your father to give me a good discount on the Justitiae Naturalis Principia, and I will say not a word to anyone. Your servant, William Henry Cadwallader. I turned straight to the end of the neat copy Professor Cadwallader had made. Here was space for the signatures of Charlie's nieces. As he said, Mr. Lowe had signed for Emmeline. That told me that she had survived the fire, at least. And on the second line, the name I had been hoping for. Vida Winter. And after it, in brackets, the words, "Formerly known as Adeline March." Proof. Vida Winter was Adeline March. She was telling the truth. With this in mind, I went to my appointment in the library and listened and scribbled in my little book as Miss Winter recounted the aftermath of Hester's departure.